2 weeks of intense competition.
If people do not agree with you, coming out and standing in their faces will not change that.
It's down to the final four.
Corporal punishment develops the brain, according to science. Take it or leave.
This week, Nigeria Info FM will crown the first ever I Beg to Differ debate tournament champion. But who will it be? Tanvita Kaushik.
The time starts now. We have about people repeating points. Isn't going to help the public. It's just going to annoy them.
Emmanuel Afolari.
So money is not really what you went there to go and do. You went there to gain work experience and to help serve your country in the end.
Emanuela Nnadi.
Corporal punishment has a psychological effect on students. We degrade their IQ.
And Uchechukwu Golden.
Cryptocurrency platforms do not allow the involvement of the government and their regulatory bodies. Hence, if the government should ban cryptocurrency, it will bring about...
Are live Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. Thursday at 3 p.m. it's the third place match. And then at 5 p.m. it's the final. One winner, 1 million naira. Sponsored by Nigeria Info FM and obiwizi.com.
Lagos, it's time. We're about to crown the first ever I Beg to Differ tournament champion. After 3 weeks and 15 debates, it all comes down to this one winner, 1 million naira. Congratulations to both of you for making it this far into the finals. It's not been easy. You made it out of over 100 students and then the top 16, and then here you are. Congratulations. Well done. Good job to both of you. But it's not just 1 million naira. As you know, obiwizi.com is sponsoring their Beg to Differ tournament. They're Nigeria's home of new and pre-owned gadgets. And they help their customers get these gadgets at affordable prices. They offer warranty. They offer repairs. They offer advisory. They offer after-sales service. They have prizes today for our top three finalists. Earlier today, they gave the third-place debater a JBL Bluetooth speaker and a Porodo smartwatch valued at 118,000 naira. Please let's put our hands together for them. They did fantastically. At the end of this final, they will present the second prize, a Nintendo Switch valued at 257,000 naira. We need to keep clapping for them. It's pretty brilliant. Nigeria Info will also give them a cash prize of 250,000 naira. Let's put our hands together for Nigeria Info FM as well. Our champion will get a desktop PC, an HP printer, a Bluegate UPS, all valued at 373,000 naira. And that's in addition to the 1 million naira cash prize from Nigeria Info FM Lagos. A big thank you to obiwizi.com. You can visit their branches in Ikeja, Lekki or Abuja. Their website is obiwizi.com. Now let's debate. My God, I am so nervous. I don't know if anybody else is nervous, but I am so nervous, But before I introduce the debaters, let me introduce the judges. We have three of the sharpest, most objective intellectuals ever to grace the radio. Our first judge is the host of Listed Lagosian. And Danfo Conversations here on Nigeria Info, Ireti Bakare Yusuf. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to I Beg to Differ.
Hello, Sandra. I'm more nervous than they are.
I am so nervous. I know, right?
Yes, your eyes have been, your faces look familiar.
Our second judge is a product management executive who has been in quite a few debates himself here on Hard Facts. And he's a chief. And as a chief, I'm sure he's used to judging matters. Chief Andy Oboforibo, welcome to I Beg to Differ. And then our third judge is the founder of SBM Intelligence. He's joining us virtually because he's out of the country on an important engagement. But he still made time to judge this debate. Chetawanze, welcome to I Beg to Differ.
Thank you for having me.
And Lagos, of course, you are listening and you can watch on Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. And now it's time to introduce our VIPs. Our last two standing. Our finalists. This is the last time that I get to say this particular tournament, in this particular tournament. So here are the debaters. Our first debater is in class 9 at Avicenna International School. She's 13 years old. In the round of 16, she told us everybody should learn to code. In the quarterfinal, she explained why protests should inconvenience the general public. And in Monday's semifinal, she made the case that Nigeria is ready for electronic voting. Tamvita Kaushik, welcome to I Beg to Differ.
Thank you so much.
Our second debater is in SS1 at Vic Mob High School. She's 12 years old. In the round of 16, she argued that virtual learning was not better than in-class instruction. In the quarterfinal, she explained why corporal punishment should be criminalized. And in Tuesday's semifinal, she said protests don't need to have leaders. Imolala Nnadi, welcome to I Beg to Differ.
Thank you.
Now, because this is the final, it's going to have twice as much excitement as the other rounds. That's because the contestants will be debating two topics. But the rules of each topic are the same as in the semifinal. One of you will be in support, one of you will oppose. 2-minute presentations, 2-minute rebuttals, 2-minute closings. Our judges will judge all three rounds based on number, quality, and originality of unique points made. If you repeat a point, your score will not increase. So for our judges, if they repeat a point, their score will not increase. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation, number of opponents' points addressed, the strength of your rebuttal of each point. After the first topic, you will switch for the second. So whoever supported the first will oppose the second and vice versa. After you are done debating, each judge will choose a winner or declare a tie. The debater that is chosen by more judges as the winner is our champion. If you are tied on judge votes, we're going to count all the points that they awarded to you, and that will definitely get our winner. So there'll be no tiebreaker round today. So first, let's decide what topics. Let's decide. I think actually first, let's decide who is supporting which. So let's decide who is supporting and who is opposing, right? And then we're going to decide what topic you're going to debate first. So I have the ballot papers in my hand, two pieces of paper. Imanala, you pick first. You're on my right-hand side, so you're closer. And you, Tamvita. What did you pick, Imanala?
Supporting.
All right, so Imanala Nnadi is supporting and Tamvita Kaushik is opposing, which means in the second round, Imanala, you'll be opposing and Tamvita will be supporting. All right, then, since Imanala chose supporting, I will give you a chance to also pick which topic you're going to do first. Hold on, a piece of paper just fell. Let me pick it up. All right, here you go. You decide what topic.
Commercial motorcycles should be banned all over Lagos.
All right. Commercial motorcycles should be banned all over Lagos. That's our first topic. That's our first debate topic. Well, once again, congratulations to both of you. Good job on making it this far. Good job. Great work. In the second round, Emanuela will oppose that state governments should control value-added tax, and Tanvita will support that state governments should control value-added tax. Now, let's find out, who's going to win round one. It's time to debate, ladies, the presentation round. Let's start with you, Emanuela, the motion supporter. Remember, 2 minutes.
Everyone craves a working system. Everyone wants a society where everything works in favor of them. The incessant rise of the daily of the motorcycle operators in Lagos State cannot be overemphasized. What if the whole scenarios change? What if there is a reduction in the number of motorcycle operators in all over the state? These are the questions I'm here to answer today. Good day, moderator, panel of judges, accurate timekeeper, my co-debater, and of course, my ever-attentive adjunct. My name is Nadia Emanuela Amarachi, a proud and vibrant student of Vicmop High School. I'm here to support the notion which states that commercial motorcycles should be banned all over Lagos. Firstly, a considerable reduction in crime rate. These Okadas, or preferably said, motorcycles, are the easiest and faster means of escape in criminal scenarios for criminals. And banning of these motorcycles would help to reduce crime rate. Lack of physical comfort. Nothing to rest on when traveling on a long distance, and there's nothing to put their leg on, therefore creating inconveniency for the passengers. Also, it is very difficult to have maximum comfortability on a motorcycle, especially when boarded or when it's raining or under a scorching sun. Limited storage and luggage. Motorcycles were built to convey humans and not luggages. Overloading could cause accidents also. The safety concern. Most riders are adamant to traffic laws, and this is due to illiteracy and their incapability to read and write. This also makes them incapable of understanding traffic laws. Health hazard. Passengers are exposed to other diseases like tuberculosis and skin diseases, and this could also cause terminal diseases like lung cancer. I hope with this germane point of mine, I've been able to convince you that commercial motorcycles should be banned all over Lagos. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good job. And now, Tanvita, your time starts.
Fortune Okudaye. This is the name of a 24-year-old woman who's been driving commercial motorcycles since the age of 11 in order to pay for her education. She faced humiliation and accidents, but now she's so successful. Good day, honorable judges, my esteemed timekeeper, my fellow co-debaters, and our wonderful listeners. My name is Tanvita Kaushik. I'm 13 years old, and I'm against the motion that states should commercial motorcycles be banned all over Lagos. Firstly, and most importantly, the whole concept of banning something does not solve the problem. It just leads to more protests and more backlash, as seen in Ikorodu in 2020. Instead, if we actually want to solve the problem, let's focus on regulating Okadas or commercial motorcycles instead of just banning them altogether. Secondly, commercial motorcycles are fundamental. They're a fundamental part of transport in Lagos. They're known for being fast, taking from location to location, being convenient, being accessible, and most importantly, being comfortable for disabled people. Over 27 million Nigerians cannot use any other form of transportation without a sense of discomfort. Additionally, at least 8 million Okadas are active in Lagos. Even though lag bus vehicles and last mile buses are being introduced, it doesn't really help with that because they're being released at a very slow rate. If we want to make up for the lack of commercial motorcycles in Lagos, then we're going to have to release them at a much faster rate, which the Lagos state government is not being able to do. Fifthly, an apparent problem amongst motorcycles is the crime rates. But like I've already stated, banning them does not help with that. For example, if you look at what's happening in Abuja. The Akamaran has signed a a system of understanding with the Cleveland Investment, which helps to curb crime rates with the use of ICT, which is an example of an alternative to just banning them. Moreover, with the rise of entrepreneurship ideas that are related to Okadas, it doesn't make any sense to ban them. Look at Gokara, look at GoRide, look at all of these companies that have started up due to Okadas. The amount of economic loss that would come along with that is extremely, extremely not beneficial to Lagos State. This leads to my next point, which is that the economic loss that comes with the banning of commercial motorcycles is that it's going to be extremely unbeneficial to the whole of Lagos State. So in conclusion, we can already see the impacts of the existing bans of commercial motorcycles, which is how we can conclude that banning them all across Lagos doesn't benefit us in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tambita Kaushik. Well done. Good job. It's time for round two, the rebuttal round. Let's start with the motion supporter, and then we'll go to the motion opposer. Imanola?
Economical breakdown. Would you rather risk your life to board or hop on a motorcycle than to just save your life or thus prevent yourself from all these accidents? These accidents are due to recklessness of drivers, and they don't, like I said earlier on, they don't understand traffic laws. They don't obey traffic signs. This leads to bad conditions of their passengers. Also, I talked about a health hazard. When a passenger boards or hops on a motorcycle, that passenger is at the risk of dying. Also, I'd like to state another point of that they constitute nuisance. Most commercial motorcyclists are mostly found arguing or disagreeing with vehicle drivers, and this causes hindrance to easy access to roads. And also, they are seen riding on roads that are meant for beautification or where flowers or trees are, and they also ride on pavements meant for pedestrians. They are also found as the number one people who disobey traffic laws. Smugglers use motorcycles to smuggle contrabands into the country because the law enforcement agency only focuses on vehicles and other means of transportation, but they don't focus on these motorcycles. But they don't know that these motorcycles are even the major way of smuggling contrabands. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel and Nadi. Well done. Good job. Tambita, your 2 minutes starts now.
Thank you so much. All protocols being duly noted. Some of the points that my opponent stated was firstly the increase in crime rates. As I've said before, the example of what's happening in Abuja. The Akamaran signed a memorandum of understanding with another company in order to actually use ICTs to solve the problem instead of just banning Okadas. See, you're just banning one form of vehicles right now. What if tomorrow, to continue the corruption rates, they go to like another form of vehicles? Will you ban that vehicle as well? It doesn't really make sense. If you want to actually stop the problem, you stop the problem. You don't just ban what's causing the problem. So the second thing that you talked about is physical comfort. Well, not true, actually, because disabled people, a survey was taken over 27 million Nigerians who are all disabled, and they stated that Okadas were actually the most physically comfortable vehicles for them to use. Secondly, you talked about rain and scorching sun. That's actually a pretty easy problem to solve. If you look at Gokada and like GoRiders, all their motorcycles usually have an umbrella feature with them, which helps to protect from both of the features that you just stated. Furthermore, you talked about overloading. That's, again, a problem the government needs to solve. You need to look at regulations rather than just banning the Okadas. You need to come up with regulations for overloading rather than just banning the system or banning the vehicle. Thirdly, he talks about illiteracy. That's actually not true. About 85% of people who drive Okadas or drive commercial motorcycles are said to be underemployed, like they're actually more educated. So it's not the illiteracy that's causing the problem. It's the fact that they just don't care, and that's where the government needs to step in and make them care through regulations. Furthermore, he talks about skin disease. That's just the problem of the people. They need to learn. They need to be educated, again, by governments, by NGOs, to understand how skin diseases are spread, and then they won't cause a problem anymore. So why do we need to ban the whole vehicle when we can just address every single problem and take the necessary precautions to solve each one? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tambita Kaushik. Well done. Lagos, if you're listening, don't forget, you can watch as well. Go online, go on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, go on YouTube as well, Nigeria Info FM. But if you miss it, if you just got in your car and so you've missed some of the first round or some of the second round, this will air on Wazobia Max TV. Wazobia Max TV is available on Star Times, on DSTV, and on your regular TV if you don't have cable. Tune to channel 57, channel 259 on DSTV, channel 98 on GoTV, and channel 153 on Star Times. All right, it's time for the closing round. Final words on the topic. We'll start with Emanuela, the motion supporter. Your time starts now.
Motorcycles has a limited number of people that they carry. And you cannot. They have limited number of passengers that they can accommodate at a time. Reduction in rate of accident. There are different safety measures that Okada riders do flaunt. The safety rules that they flaunt are the most important ones and then causing nuisance in the whole state. These are part of the reasons why they should be banned. Social distancing. There cannot be social distancing observed when you board or hop on a commercial motorcycle. Why? Because people are squeezing themselves. People are you know, they are just together on that place. And as we can see, as the spread of COVID-19 everywhere, we don't know how to protect this. And it's just by the grace of God that we've been here today. And just being on a commercial motorcycle is a risk of COVID-19. It is not as an excuse for joblessness. Let me also state that point. The question people should ask is that, why do people risk their life in order just to feed for themselves? Don't they think of people who they leave behind? They say people, wives, children who are dependent on them. Those people, when they lose people, when they lose the people who they term as joblessness, are they just how do I put it? They tend to lose them just at the risk of commercial motorcycles. Indiscriminate parking. Since the motorcycles are their lord, they have no rules, they obey no rules. They decide to park and, you know, or keep their motorcycles anywhere they like, thereby constituting nuisance, as I said earlier on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Imolan and Nadi. Good job. Well done. Brilliant work. Tambita, your 2 minutes starts now.
Thank you so much. All protocols being duly observed, I'd like to firstly state some more points in my favour, address some of the rebuttals that my lovely co-debater made, and lastly, round up my statement. So, 2 points I'd just like to quickly make first is that commercial motorcycles serve as a backup career for people who move in from the outskirts of Lagos and then they try to make a job for themselves. In case they fail in trying to make a job for themselves, there's always the backup of making sure or joining a commercial motorcycle company. Furthermore, several companies and businesses require these commercial motorcycles in order for delivery and transport. And now I'd like to address some of the points that my co-debater made. So firstly, you talked about the recklessness, the nuisance, and the disagreeing with other vehicular like drivers. Again, whose fault is that? I mean, if you're really going to look at they're causing conflicts, shouldn't there be like the government's officials to come in and make sure that conflict isn't happening? Are you really going to ban like a whole vehicle just because the people driving those vehicles are causing conflicts? It doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, if you're going to talk about the harming of nature, again, regulations. If basically people are driving on where pedestrians walk, there needs to be regulations. There needs to be police officers who are actually on duty doing their jobs to make sure that these commercial motorcycles do not harm people's lives. That is basically the job of security officials, to make sure that these vehicles do not disturb people's lives. So if you're going to ban a whole vehicle just because of things like parking or just because of things like smuggling, which they should be stopping, it doesn't make any sense. It's basically just looking for an easy way out by banning these vehicles. It does not make sense. First, you talked to next, you talked about COVID measures and safety measures. Well, again, awareness needs to be spread. People need to wear their masks, firstly. You don't see a lot of commuters doing that. So that's one of the first things that if you really want to talk about COVID regulations, that's one of the first things that should be put into place. Secondly, you talked about like a lack of jobs. Whose fault is that? Is that not the job availability in Lagos causing the people to instead go for Okadas? Which essentially leads me to another point, which is that when you try to ban a whole set of vehicles, what about all those people? What about all the unemployed people? What about all the economic loss that causes? You've not addressed that. So in conclusion, it does not make sense to ban an aspect of life that provides jobs and life skills and its convenience for the general public. Instead, you should actually solve the issues, and those should be our focus. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good job. Well done to both of you. Thank you for a fantastic round one. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, it will be time for the second topic. The judges will not tell us the scores yet.
After 2 weeks of intense competition,
if people do not agree with you, coming out and standing in their faces will not change that.
It's down to the final four.
Corporal punishment develops the brain, according to science. Take it or leave.
This week, Nigeria Info FM will crown the first ever I Beg to Differ debate tournament champion. But who will it be? Tanvita Kaushik.
The time starts now. We have about people repeating points. It's going to help the public. It's just going to annoy them.
Emmanuel Afolari.
So money is not really what you went there to go and do. You went there to gain work experience and to help serve your country in the end when it's a cop.
Emanuela Nnadi.
Corporal punishment has a psychological effect on students. We degrade their IQ.
And Uchechukwu Golden.
Cryptocurrency platforms do not allow the involvement of the government and their regulatory bodies. Hence, if the government should ban cryptocurrency, it will bring about...
Semi-finals are live Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. Thursday at 3 p.m., it's the third place match. And then at 5 p.m., it's the final. One winner, 1 million naira. Sponsored by Nigeria Info FM and obiwizi.com.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your moderator. We've just done our first topic and we've gone three rounds in that topic. We've got Emanuela Nnadi here facing Tanvita Kaushik. Emanuela is 12 years old. Tanvita is 13. Emanuela is in SS1. Tanvita is in JS3, class 9 at Avicenna School at Inikeja. Emanuela is a student from Vic Mob High School. Now let's move to our second topic. The judges, like I said before the break, are not telling us the scores yet. Each judge will add up the debaters' points for both topics, cast their single vote for one winner. Now let's move to topic number two. Time for round one, the presentation round. We'll start with the motion supporter who opposed the previous motion. And this time you're talking to us about state governments being allowed to control value-added tax. Tanvita, your time starts now.
Upton Sinclair once said, "It's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it." This is an accurate description of the state of the Federation as it wages battle against the federal government on the collection of the value-added tax in the country. Good day, Honourable Judges, my esteemed timekeeper, my fellow co-debates and our wonderful listeners. My name is Tanvita Kaushik. I'm 13 years old and I'm for the motion that states state government should control VAT. So VAT is a consumption tax that is charged on the value that's added at each stage of production. Currently, it's being administered by the Federal Inland Revenue Service at a change rate of 7.5%. That being said, states should control VAT because they're closer to their people. The state obviously understands their people and the intricacies and challenges better than the federal government ever would. So they're more poised to help their populace using the VAT in ways that the federal government never could. Furthermore, the process of federal allocation just makes states less productive. Once this process stops, the states will start working towards physical autonomy. As of right now, they just go to Abuja every year with their cap in their hand asking for federal allocations. This leads to my next point, that their unproductivity can be seen through their ratio between their federal account allocation and their internally generated revenue. In states like Kano, Akwa Ibom, and Ondo, federal allocation has been double or triple of the IGR, yet their out-of-school rate is still as high as possible. See, children's education is a determinant of how well a state is doing, so using this, it's apparent that the federal allocation of money to states is not suiting them. It's not helping with the problems in the state. Fourthly, with the federal government controlling VAT, it's a disproportionate contribution paradox comes along with it. To illustrate this, 3 of the 37 states in Nigeria produce 81% of the VAT, and the rest of the 33 states only produce 14%, yet they all get almost an equal amount. This certainly isn't fair. The amount they receive and the amount they get back is not proportional. My next point is physical autonomy. If states received what they contributed, physical autonomy would increase, and the estimated...
Thank you, Tanvita. Good job. Well done. Let's put our hands together for her. She's done fantastically. Okay. Your 2 minutes starts now, Emanuela.
Good evening, moderator, a panel of judges, accurate timekeeper, my co-debater, and of course, my attentive audience. My name is Nnadi Emanuela Amarachi, a proud and vibrant student of Vic Mob High School. I strongly disagree with the notion which states that state governments should control VAT. The state does not have enough machinery to manage or regulate VAT. Right now, many states in Nigeria are short of machineries to control or to maintain VAT. So it is left to the federal government to just do such. Also, it doesn't give room for the marginalization of any state or tribe. The reason for most marginalization of tribes or states is because of their inefficiency to their inefficiency for having or maintaining VAT. It gives every state in huge a huge sense of belonging as being part of a nation. It allows every state to have every sense of belonging, like I said, and be part of a country's revenue. It's a very complex and difficult system of taxation. It's very advisable that the federal government should control or maintain tax, because it is very hard and it is a difficult way of taxation of these citizens. It is federal government should also control and maintain VAT, because it is going to lead to difference in VAT policies. It will be good and it will lead to unhealthy political.
Speak into your mic, please.
It won't be good and to lead to unhealthy political competition and lobbying. Also, I want to state the point which states that it increases the lack of accountability and aiding more competition between states, between the state government and the local government. In conclusion, it is very costly to operate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emanuela. Good job. Well done. Don't forget, Lagos, you can watch live on 99.3 Nigeria Info. That's our website. You can watch on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM. You can also watch on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Let's now move on to the second round of this topic, the rebuttal round. And this time we'll start with the motion supporter. Tambita, your 2 minutes starts now.
All protocols being duly noted, I'm here to counter some of the points that my opponent put forward. So firstly, you talked about the marginalization of states. Well, yeah, that would actually reduce when states start to control their own VAT. Because as of right now, whenever the government like has the federal account allocation, so essentially it just takes all of the VAT and then like gives it out based on what's necessary. When states control their own VAT, they can be able to spend the money as they would like, which would help for the marginalization of states to reduce. Furthermore, he talks about difficult taxation. That would essentially help the states to, once the states start to control their own VAT, they'll start to tackle the problem of difficult taxation by themselves, which the federal government has not been able to tackle. See, you also talked about accountability, which plays into this. So once you give states more power and more responsibility, that responsibility is a burden to them and they need to start taking control of it, right? The physical autonomy is going to jolt them into actually doing something that's been overdue for a very long while. Once you give them a responsibility as huge as this, they will start to manage the money more. They'll start to manage the money better, because now international forces will be looking at them because of a change like this has happened, because this system has been in place since the 1990s. Once a change like this happens, there will be so much international pressure. Furthermore, you talked about the difference in VAT policies. Again, this is just going to help Nigeria become even more united, because you talked about the difference in VAT policies. So they're obviously going to have to come together to like work on their VAT policies and make sure that they're aligned and it won't cause like any double taxations or things like that. So it's actually going to help the states have like similar policies, which has been lacking severally before. So I hope that I've been able to counter some of your points and help you to see clarity on some of these points. Thank you.
Thank you, Tambita Kaushik. Emanuela, your 2 minutes starts now.
5 to 80% of the businesses and services carried out in Nigeria are on the federal level rather than on the state level. So seeing the federal level or seeing the federal government as a way of or as a place, or let me just put it this way, the federal level or the federal government is a way or generates more income in the country. It increases the financial muscle of the country. I want to ask you a question, Tambita. Do you think that the state government should rather control VAT than the federal government? Because don't you know that the state is under the country and the federal government is also the country, if you don't know. And it also attracts foreigners. When the federal government is able to mobilize and is able to use this VAT properly, the state or the federal government officials are able to beautify and able to do more things that will attract international business proposals, and this will attract foreign investors. It also reduces the level of corruption, especially at the state level. There will be so much accountability on the federal level than on the state level because of a level of corruption, and this will help to reduce corruption at a certain rate. With the enormous cry for restructuring in the nation, it is clear that the old system of state government's regulation of VAT has failed. Therefore, federal government should regulate VAT. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel and Nadi. All right, good job. We're almost there. We're almost there. It's time for the closing round. Final words on the topic. We'll start with the motion supporter, Tamvita Kaushik. Your final 2 minutes of their Beg to Differ tournament.
Thank you so much. All protocols again being duly observed. I'd like to use this time to address some of the rebuttals my lovely co-debater made and round up some statements that I have made. Okay, so firstly, you talked about, the marginalization of states, which again, that only happens when the federal government is involved, wherein the federal government prioritizes some states over others. For example, Lagos produces about 55% of the VAT, of the total VAT of the country. However, it's not getting that much back. Now, if you want Lagos to get back the taxes that it's given to the country, that's given to the FAA, then we need states to manage their own VAT. Secondly, you talked about the state being under the country, and like that point didn't quite make sense, because even though the state is under the country, even though it goes to local government, state government, and the national or the federal government, well, the state government still is not getting physical autonomy over their VAT, and that's what we're demanding right now. Also, you talked about how foreigners can be attracted because federal governments will be improving and beautifying certain places. Why can't states do that? I'm asking you a question. So why can't states beautify the states as well? In fact, they can do it better simply because they know their states better than the federal government does. Federal government has to take care of 36, 37 states if you count the FCT. So each state is more specialized. They'll know what to do. Furthermore, you talked about accountability, which I already addressed. Giving them more responsibility will make them take accountability. International pressure will make them take accountability. Furthermore, you talked about curbing corruption. Well, you can't just directly skip to federal government and like start to curb corruption, right? You've got to start from like middle levels. So you start from the local government, then you go to the state government. Right now, what we're trying to curb corruption in the state government by giving them more responsibility and putting more pressure on them to do the right thing, to jolt them into action. Furthermore, you talked about the state government having failed. We've not given them an opportunity to like proceed or to do anything, and you're already talking about their failure? That's very pessimistic of you. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you very much. I am grateful I'm not a judge. That's all I'm going to say. Emanuela, your 2 minutes starts now.
It helps the federal government easily plan and manage the budget. When the federal government are collecting VATs from the state government, they have a clearer view of what they want to use them to do in order to, for the progression of that country. Control of VAT with the federal government will help them to generate more revenue. For example, the country is generating more revenue and the states are getting, or there's a corruption right now in Lagos State, like from the toll gate to the port, and this money, a bit of them are being drafted out from that money that's supposed to give to the federal government. So I don't see any reason why you would say that the state government is more accountable than the federal government. Under items 58 and 59, it is clear that it is unconstitutional for the state government to control VAT. According to the Constitution, the federal government is meant to sustain, collect, and budget with these VATs that are collected from this state government. So, with the state government corrupting and with the corruption of the state government and them not giving honest records of that VAT to the federal government is very disappointing. I hope with this conjunct point of mine, I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you that federal government should control VAT. Thank you.
Woo! Thank you to both of you for a fantastic debate. What a fantastic final, Lagos. Both debaters really deserve a round of applause. My goodness, wow, you gave Lagos an excellent show, you both. Congratulations, good job. And it's not just today either. This is the fourth time that each of you is debating in the studio, and each time you have both brought fire. Now we're just collating the results from the judges. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Now while they do that, Lagos, let me tell you, we're still streaming live. I see you. I see all your comments. Your comments are fantastic. Lots of fans on both sides. Tamvita has a lot of fans. Emanuela has a lot of fans. I wish I could take calls, but I won't because, we need to announce the results first before we come to the phone lines. But I have to tell you both, you have done phenomenally. And hey, Lagos, if you just tuned in, And you're wondering, well, what's happening on Nigeria Info today? Our final in the debate tournament, their Beg to Differ student debate final. That's what's happening here. We've got Tamvita Kaushik. She is 13 years old. She's a student at Avicenna International School. It's in Ikeja. And she is in JS3. And she just faced off 12 years old Emanuela Nadi. Emanuela Nadi is a student at Vicmob High School. And they have gifts waiting for them, depending on who wins or loses this round. So we've got 1 million naira up for grabs. 1 million naira from Nigeria Info FM. That's not all. They have a desktop PC courtesy obiweezy.com. Obiweezy also has a printer available, a UPS available, all of these things valued at 373,000 naira. That's in addition to the 1 million naira that either Tanvita or Emanuela will get if they win. And then, of course, whoever doesn't win, whoever comes second, will still get some money from Nigeria Info FM. It's our house. You can't come in here and leave empty-handed. So we'll give you 250,000 naira for your trouble. And we'll also give you a Nintendo Switch from obiweezy.com. This has been amazing. My judges are looking at me like they're done. Are we done, judges? Are we ready? Are we done? Oh, we're done, huh? Okay. Elora, please help me pick up the scores from the judges. And let me look at it over here. All right, let's see if Cheta is also done.
This our collation center is very peaceful.
Oh, it's very peaceful, eh?
Well, I've never felt so important. I feel like I'm judging the world, you know, I don't know, world war, whatever.
Okay.
I've never felt so important.
Unnecessarily peaceful. I don't know why.
Are you looking for people to come and
Cheta,
snatch ballot box?
Katakata. Huh? Don't start kata-kata.
Okay.
I expected to have been kidnapped by this point.
Okay. As an INEC returning officer. Okay.
Really, I'm really scared. I was really nervous when I was judging both of you. I was like, okay, no, yeah, no, yes, yes, okay. No. I'm hoping I'm doing this correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was scary.
Well, let's take a look at the results. They're in. And of course, there can only be one winner, right? So, Chief Andy Oboforibo. Gave the first and the second rounds. I'm talking about the topics now. The winner of both rounds, from our judge, Chief Andy Oboforibo, was Tamvita Kaushik. And then let's come to Cheta Nwanze. Cheta Nwanze voted for Tamvita Kaushik. Ireti Bakara Yusuf also voted for Tamvita Kaushik. Congratulations, Tamvita. You just became the very first winner of the very first I Beg to Differ tournament.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. I want to congratulate both of you for doing amazing. Now it's time for the presentation of gifts. We will have the honor of having the CEO of Cool FM, Wazovia FM, and Nigeria Info FM do us the honor of presenting 1 million naira to Tamvita Kaushik. Tamvita, I am so proud of you. Well done. Good job. Emanuela Nadi, you did brilliantly. Well done. Keep your head up. This is fantastic. Serge Nadeem is in here. Please come in, sir. Tanvita, get up, please. So you come this way. This is where the presentation will happen. Can you have that mic, please? Thank you. All right. So we have our winner. Tanvita did. Tanvita won.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How do you feel?
Just grateful, I guess,
it's working now.
Yes, it's working now.
How do you feel? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I feel grateful, I guess, to everyone who's helped me, like for my family, to like my parents' driver, to the school, to everyone, like they've all helped me so much.
Okay.
I could not have done this by myself at all, so just a big thank you to everyone.
All right. So I just want to say congratulations to all the contenders, all those who have participated in the debate. I don't think there are any losers. I think everybody is a winner in this contest. And while I'm sure you're going to enjoy the prize, I think the journey is just as important because you take the memories and experience along with you. And I think it's going to serve you very well. Nonetheless, congratulations to everyone. Well done, Sandra. Well done, the judges as well. Have they been fair?
They've been very fair.
Good.
I think they've been very fair. I think they've been very fair.
I was so nervous.
Yeah, I could. Well, one thing that did surprise me was the speed at which they had to make their points.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that was pretty challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them really did a great job.
It tells you we have to reduce the time Nigerian food callers have when they call into the shows. If they can do it in 2 minutes, so can you.
Yeah.
You don't need 5 minutes.
Great. So, well done. And we hope to have more of these debates. And can I see the number there? 1 million. That's not bad. Not bad at all. Let's see how you'll spend that. So congratulations. Well done.
There you go.
All right, so while that is happening, while the presentation is happening, we're also taking pictures. Lagos, you can watch that happen live on air on Nigeria Info 99.3. That's our Facebook. We also have YouTube. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. All right, and then Emmanuel and Nadi, it's time to also receive yours, Serge, if you don't mind. Can we have Emanuela's check? Because Emanuela has done fantastically. So well done, Emanuela.
I heard. Well done.
Good job.
They can have a piece of it. It's all yours, actually.
Good job. Well done. Congratulations, Emanuela. Congratulations. Okay, so we have the third and the fourth. Let them also come in so that we can present theirs to them as well. So I'm speaking about Uchechukwu Golding and Emmanuel Busari are following. Then the rest of the gifts will be presented to you as well. Do we have the representatives from obiwizi.com? Can they come in? Can they come in as well? All right. All right, so we have our fourth place winner in the studio. But first of all, let's talk to Uchechukwu Golding. Uchechukwu Golding, congratulations again. Well done. Good job. Good job. Congratulations to you.
How do you feel?
I feel grateful. I feel excited. I feel overwhelmed, thank you, Nigerian Food. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. Yes.
Well, thank you for the courage to participate. Well done. Congratulations.
Maybe give him a handshake as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's COVID. Should he be giving him handshakes?
Yeah, no, I'm going
to
break protocol.
All right. Congratulations. Well done. Good job. Okay, Emmanuel, it's your turn now. Emmanuel is 12 years old. Emmanuel wasn't even supposed to be in the debate, but he was so good that he made it into the top 16. So congratulations again, Emmanuel.
Well done. Eh? Congrats.
Of course, Lagos, you can watch this happen live on Nigeria Info's Facebook, Nigeria Info FM, on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Do we have the people from Obiwizi here? Yes, we do. Okay. So we have the co-founder of obiwizi.com in the studio with us. I'm talking about Kofoworola Onanuga. Thank you so much for sponsoring this. We do hope that you also sponsor again next year, because we have a few more editions happening next year. Did you listen? Did you have people that you were rooting for? What was it like for you?
Hi, Lagos. Good afternoon, Lagos. I listened from the quarterfinal. That's with Emmanuel and Tanvita. That was where I started listening from. And indeed, I must say, it's overwhelming to see young people come out, talk, and with so much confidence. It's really amazing. I enjoyed the show all through till the end. Thank you.
We're glad to hear that. We're glad that we put together something that you enjoy.
And finally, good to see you, Sandra, in person. I listened.
Okay, so we have gifts from them as well. If we have strapping gentlemen who can help us bring those gifts, and we can present those gifts as well. So let's start with Uchechukwu Golden, because his is the smallest. So let's start with that before we go to the big guns. And then we can just present one thing from the complete computer set. We don't need to bring the whole thing. Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you so much to obiwizi.com for doing this. Lagos, don't forget that you can go to obiwizi.com to shop for your brand new and pre-owned gadgets. And they can also offer you pre-sales, after-sales repairs. Here you go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations again.
Well, I hope you have a thing for music.
Well done, good job. That should be helpful when you write your WAEC next year.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emanuela?
Do you want me to hold this for you?
Okay, can we have the Nintendo Switch for Emanuela? She's our second place winner. The Nintendo Switch is going for over 200,000 naira. Thank you again to obiwizi.com. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
All right, so Uchechukwu got a JBL speaker and a smartwatch that costs 118,000 naira. And for our prize winner, Tanvita Kaushik, getting an additional 373 grand in products from obiwizi.com. Thank you so much, obiwizi.com. So she gets, yeah, her eyes just widened. She can't believe how huge it is. Maybe put it on the thing. I don't know. How are their pictures going to get it? Will their pictures capture it? Put it on the console? Yeah. Well, our CEO is here, so if it spoils, he will forgive us. All right, so just hold it. Yeah. That's fine.
I can't wave out that one.
Okay.
Congratulations,
Tanvita. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Tanvita. Congratulations to all four of you. Please don't go so that we can all take group pictures, because I want to tell everyone that, you know, I met the cool kids who won the very first round of their Beg to Differ tournament. Lagos, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you so much for giving us 3 weeks of your time. We're going to do this again next year. If you'd like to be a sponsor, just let us know. We'll make sure that you get your money's worth. Up next is the news at 6 o'clock. When that is done, we will bring you Lisa Legoshen with Ireti Bakare Yusuf at 6:30. And of course, the sports gang will take over from 7 o'clock. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Those were your hard facts, Lagos. Good night.